Welcome back, everybody, to another recap slash review slash Easter egg slash...
Big time spoilers, baby.
Big time spoilers. I hope you're ready for all the spoilers, Mason. Have you watched this yet?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Do you want me to watch it live?
Sure, why not?
This video is going to be 34 minutes long, and it's just me going, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going to click over to Loki at the end, or are you just going to watch the credits? What are you going to do?
I always watch the credits.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. That's nice. It's good to sit
through. I want
to
know the Spanish voice actors and such.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about voice actors. But before we do,
okay.
I hope people leave a like on this video. And I also hope that
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I mean, yes. Yes, I did. I did. Is it too late to change my answer?
Yes. Also, Hank Pym done it.
He did it.
Spoilers. We said spoilers.
It's your fault if you're still here.
God damn it.
So also, these go up early, the audio version, well early at bigsandwich.co, which is like our...
It's well early.
It's well early, mate. It's like a private Patreon. Early.
It's well fit.
It's also well fit. We do bonus podcasts and movie commentaries.
It's well wicked.
Also up there, The Matrix Caravan of Garbage is up there already. But that got pushed because of the Spider-Man trailer.
Ah, I see.
So that's coming out in a couple of days. But just know that that's there if you do want to see it. Anyway.
That's well wicked.
That's well wicked. Speaking of something well wicked, Mason.
Go on.
Do you love a murder mystery?
Yes.
I thought this was a pretty decent murder mystery where all the clues were there, but I certainly didn't figure it out.
It's interesting the way that superhero universes can do a murder mystery.
Mm.
Because in a regular murder mystery, you go, okay, of the characters that have been presented to us in this show now or in this book now.
Who's doing the murder?
Who's doing the murder? But in a larger universe, it's, can you think of any character in the universe who could have done this?
Mm.
Might be them.
That's very true.
There is no way you could figure out who the murderer is if this is your first viewing of an MCU thing. But I mean, what are the odds, realistically?
But you do look at like how it was done and the clues that we got along the way. It was, you know, it makes sense that it would be a shrinky man, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
You know?
But Hawkeye did say, it's a shrinky man coming at me.
I thought initially it was Loki.
Yeah, okay, you know, I can see that,
it was
sure.
kind of part of his grand plan.
When did you twig, though? Was there a moment where you're like,
Yeah, I think after he came to Earth and he's like, I'm going to kill everyone. I'm like, is this a ruse? What is this? And I'm like, no, okay. I don't think this is
because there was a, there's right. a moment where Betty Ross examines the injector that kills Tony Stark, and she's like, ooh. Probably a little thing in there.
Yeah.
A little bullet, maybe.
Is that when you...
Yeah, and I'm like, maybe it was DC's Doll Man, the littlest man there is. He's crossed universe.
How little is he?
He's not that little.
Like doll size.
Yeah, he's like an action man or whatever.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah. Speaking of man of action, Sam Jackson returns.
That's right.
He's a good voice actor.
I think so too.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like the effort he puts into everything at this point. That sounded like a diss. But do you know what? Is that... Make sense? He comes with it the same level of...
He comes at it with 50% when you see him do a live performance and he brings that 50%. He brings it to a voice acting.
I mean, when you're that charismatic, what else do you need?
That's right.
Really.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Renner's back, Mark Ruffalo's back, Tom Hiddleston's back, Greg Clark is back, Clark Gregg is back. Why do you have two first names, Greg Clark, Clark Gregg?
It's no good.
Jamie Alexander... Frank, what's his name?
Frank Grillo.
And Lake Bell does a pretty good Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, famously the voice of Poison Ivy in the Harley Quinn cartoon. You also might know her from the TV series Surface.
Oh.
Where she was probably a marine biologist or something.
Was that about a Microsoft Surface tablet?
Yep.
Wow.
It's the origin of the Microsoft Surface tablet. And the marine biologist that loved it.
I wrote this note before they revealed who the killer was, but I said I kind of wish they didn't have the cast up the top of these episodes so you don't know who's in it. But they don't put Michael Douglas in this.
There you go.
And it is Michael Douglas. I'm like, God, that guy does an excellent Michael Douglas. Right. Or that is Michael Douglas. I just can't tell. So, yeah, this one also set around the time period of Iron Man 2 and Thor.
I was not aware they all took place in the same week.
Yeah, because do you remember at the end of Iron Man 2,
yes,
the Thor hammer
post-credits
happens,
yeah.
I believe.
Okay. But I guess I was aware of that. I guess what I'm thinking of is I wasn't aware the Incredible Hulk was set almost immediately afterwards, but I guess it was. Because there's also a post-credits sequence at the end of
Iron Man 1. No.
No, we can do this.
Well,
Thor, maybe.
No, the Incredible Hulk came out the same year as Iron Man.
Yeah, it did too,
so prior. So this was... Officially in canon was after the Edward...
People don't need any of this.
They need it. They're going to listen to us puzzle out this thing that they know.
And we'll still get it wrong.
So they obviously...
But we'll say it with confidence.
It was after the period in time where Edward Norton changed into Mark Ruffalo, yes. Obviously.
It's interesting they've gone with a sort of hybrid Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because he's sort of somewhere in the middle, I
he's
feel.
Not, he's
I
wouldn't, not quite...
If you showed me that face and said, what actor is that, I don't couldn't tell you. I wouldn't...
You'd say anyone.
I wouldn't say Edward Norton in the world. Or Mark Ruffalo.
Okay, yeah.
But if you're presenting me with two options and then slowly mush them together on a screen, I'd be like, my God, I don't understand what's happening. Why are you showing me this? I hate it.
I mean, I love this Microsoft Surface that you've put this on, but right. Other than that, I'm confused. So, yeah, it's interesting the way that they started to kill them off. And, you know, initially I thought it was going to be like a Clint Barton, Natasha Romanoff story.
Oh, I see.
But they quickly kill off Clint Barton. It's also Clark Greg Clark. He's just loving how handsome everybody is.
Yeah,
do you know
right?
what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently it's his thing.
He was a real Avengers stan back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
Before, you know, he was killed and then they were like, yeah, we'll mourn him for a minute.
Then we'll poke his brain and bring him back in a TV show that's maybe not canon in another universe or something.
Do you feel like maybe Hank Pym went to too much effort to kill some of these people?
Oh, you think he could have...
He could have just brain-drilled all of them.
Yeah, but he can't brain-drill everybody because then you're like, someone's brain-drilling these people. Who can drill brains?
That worm from Shazam. He's yeah. jumped through dimensions and different companies and he's drilling your brain.
I would have never figured out if it was the worm from Shazam. I'll tell you that much. I'll say this of the show, though. I really liked the look of the Hulk, that animated version.
Uh-huh.
Really cool. I also like how he became the inflatable Hulk. And then, I mean, I wish it was a little bit more gory in that explosion.
Yeah.
But pretty cool. And it also makes sense that somebody who can mess with, you know, the molecular biology of something would be someone like Hank Pym.
Yeah,
so,
right, right, right.
Because the Hulk is, and this I guess is probably more in the comics, he's unkillable,
yes,
essentially. Uh-huh. Whereas the one in the movies, you can knock him out sometimes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think he is as powerful as,
yeah.
or he hasn't yet become as powerful.
Yeah.
And the snap obviously crisped up one of his
arms.
Right.
His death was sort of a PG Akira. Like he turned into a big blobby man and then burst.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did, of course, miss a trick on, you know, Hank Pym could have Thanos'd him.
Oh, yeah.
The Thanos.
Have you seen that poster?
Bum, up the bum.
Have you seen the poster going around?
Of course I have. What it's if? My phone wallpaper.
For those who were listening to the audio version earlier at Big Sandwich, it's Ant-Man attempting to jump up Thanos' butt. Mm-hmm. What if? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I liked about this is, again, and I think, again, the first episode felt like it was establishing what these are, but it's a completely, you know, different narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think all the complaints that people might have of like, well, this character wouldn't necessarily do that because wasn't this character like this and whatever. You just got to kind of, you can either let it go or just, I guess you can keep complaining.
You can complain. You know what? And, you know, sometimes I honestly think it can depend on, you know, the episode or even the scene. For most of it, I thought, you know, this is the way it's going to go. But I did feel like Hank Pym next to the grave of his daughter, you know, fighting a Nick Fury-Loki combo.
Yeah.
Still had room for a few quips. I thought that was interesting.
All right, yeah.
It was still like, who's this goth guy? What's going on, this bloody hippie guy? What's going on?
Well, to be fair, at the end he was just like, just make sure you honor a memory or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, just get out of here, mate. Yeah. I wanted to actually talk about that fight in particular because as soon as Nick Fury did a flip, I'm like, no. Absolutely not.
Sure.
I do not buy any of this hand-to-hand shit that he's got going on. Look, I know Nick Fury does have some skills and we've seen him like in that action scene in The Winter Soldier in the car, for example.
We saw him cut through some ground.
He cut through some ground. He's got the little machine gun. And then I know in the first and only for now Captain Marvel movie, you know, he does a little bit of hand-to-hand, but it's a bit wonky because he's, you know, Sam Jackson's nearly 70 years old.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, when he's moving like that, I'm like,
I mean, there was still a chance. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson could have been like, all right, I will do this, but you got to make Nick Fury a real spry sort.
Yeah, that's right.
I want $1 million and I want him to be doing all sorts of flips.
And why not? I guess also, like, the version of Nick Fury from the comics or different versions, he is like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I initially, you know, and he can do stuff like he'll have his hologram projectors and his, et cetera.
LMDs.
Yeah, whatever. So it could have been.
But also, not this version.
No, that's right.
And it wasn't him anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Did you think they were going to call in Captain Marvel earlier on?
Nope.
No? You're like, no.
No.
Absolutely not, you said to yourself.
I did.
I refuse to believe it.
Yep.
I think he keeps that thing like, just too loosey-goosey in that.
Just rattling around in his glove. But there's nothing else in there as well.
I don't know so what.
It's not even being, like, held in place by some gloves no. or, like, excessive paperwork or anything.
He doesn't do paperwork.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
But it could just you could just hit a particular pothole, maybe that you've made yourself by cutting through the ground with a laser.
Sure.
And it would just bounce around and go off. And then Captain Marvel shows up and she's like, what? I'm here to save the Earth. And he's like, ooh, hang on, just, oh, it's gone off. Never yeah. mind.
That's okay. Do you want to hang out? Does that mean when
I was fighting an invading army of spaceships?
So when he cut through the ground yes. and all that in that scene, was it in that glove box also? And he would have had to go back for it?
Oh.
Presumably.
Oh, that's a great question.
I don't know.
Because that's something that he would have abandoned that car, right?
Yeah.
Don't know.
And then he pretended to die or whatever happened.
Maybe he slipped it in his pocket.
He might have slipped it in his pocket.
In his pocket.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like...
Maybe there's a Marvel one-shot in that. Mm. It's like Nick Fury in the case of the missing Captain Marvel pager, and it's like a Baby's Day Out kind of animated yeah, baby, thing yeah. where he, like, he gets out of the hospital in Winter Soldier and is like, now to... Where's the pager? Where is it? That dog's got it. That dog's got it in his mouth. Come here, boy.
It's run into that construction site.
Oh, no.
So at the end, bit of a twist, Loki takes over. He uses the opportunity to be like, I'm in charge of all this. And seeing as there's no Avengers yet, it seems like.
They're like, you seem very sinister and we don't believe in what you're putting down here, Loki. And he's like, yeah, but I've got that big box that shoots ice.
Yeah, big ice box.
The big ice box.
Mm.
Yeah.
Get some brews nice and cool for you. Yeah, and also that monster that shoots fire from its face.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
The Destroyer.
Yeah. There it is. That's absolutely it. So, but no, at the end also, after he takes over, it is hinted at that, well, can they find Captain America and then Captain Marvel turns up. They've got two captains.
That's right.
Ready to go. One can punch a spaceship out of orbit and the one can throw a frisbee.
That's right.
That's a bit short. But, yeah, I think that's an interesting point for a new Avengers team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Interesting starting point.
Yeah.
That is. Because then you've still got, like, Doctor Strange, you've got Wanda Maximoff, probably, depending on what direction any of this goes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But this also it brings me back to the segment that we are doing every week. First of all, when's the Watcher going to step in? Is it going to be next week, Mason?
When's he going to interfere? When's it time for the Watcher's interfering corner?
I'm going to say episode 7. What do you think?
Of how many is there? How many is it going to be?
I don't know. Is there? I think there's 8 or 9, maybe.
Okay,
10.
I reckon he'll interfere. If there's going to be 8, I reckon he'll interfere at 5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, and then the universes will start colliding.
It's coming up. Let me just check how many there are. There are, wow, okay. No, that's a different show. So there's going to be 9 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I reckon he might.
And we know Chadwick Boseman's in 4, if that changes anything.
I reckon he might start interfering, Mike, like maybe 6.
Okay, fair enough.
6 or 7, I reckon. Yep. He's going to get in there. He's going to get amongst it.
All right.
You know?
And the other thing is, do you still think all of these are potentially connected?
Yes.
They've seen some promos this week of some of the characters like standing together and that could just be like a, you know, they have a poster and people are standing together.
The Dark Universe.
The Dark Universe. Well, they weren't even in the same room, were they, when
that's
they
right.
took that photo?
That's, but that's movie magic.
It is.
Believe in it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's all about the movies you don't make as well, you know what I mean? It's like jazz.
Like all the Dark Universe movies. Yeah.
That's it. We've got some interesting tidbits here as well, if you don't mind, Mason.
Please.
This is from the head writer.
It's tidbit time.
Tidbit time.
No, that's it.
Tidbit,
no
tidbit,
tidbit.
Tidbit.
Time.
Thank God we rehearsed that.
Yeah.
So head writer AC Bradley spoke to Discussing Film about...
Discussing Film. We're discussing film. Film.
Can you guys keep it down? We're discussing film.
What do you mean you won't? What do you mean you were here first?
We booked this room to discuss film. So she said that a lot of people have been mentioning how did he get the name Star-Lord? And I've certainly got those comments from last week about why would Black Panther be Star-Lord? My answer is, who gives a shit? Yeah, but I think also, like, if you start explaining everything, then it becomes like... It's like the solo movie where he gets his name and his gun and his vest or whatever. I feel like just don't get into the weeds of it. But she said...
I reckon you should say a wizard did it.
A wizard gave him his name.
That wizard's name, Shuma Gorath.
So it says, she said that That was the nickname Peter Quill's mum gave him. She says mom, but it's weird when I say
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The reason he's called Star-Lord is that we're guessing that Yondu knew that Star-Lord was also the nickname of Ego. So that Meredith Quill called Peter Star-Lord because she knew Ego was not human. So Yondu was aware of that and he started calling Peter that as a fun joke and then it just kept going.
Oh.
So the name came from Yondu.
I see.
Also, like in both cases, okay, apparently. Right. Also. Who cares?
I think I said something like that last week.
You might have, yeah. And that's the important thing. But here's something else, Mason.
Okay.
This is in relation to next season. Kevin Feige spoke to Screen Rant.
Screen Rant. We're ranting about screens.
Wouldn't be angrier.
Oh, yeah, good point. We're angry about screens.
The screen isn't big enough.
Oh, have you tried the Microsoft Surface?
This screen's quite compelling, actually.
Very good.
Great tactical feedback.
Mm.
Tactical? What's the word?
Tactile.
Thank you.
Anyway, great shilling screen, Rand, you dogs.
That's the fun thing about having What If the series now. We can explore questions like that. He says just for season one, they're just tapping into the films and storylines from the MCU that we've seen as of so far. So season two will definitely incorporate
the DCEU.
Maybe.
We're going to get in first, sucked in DC.
It'll definitely incorporate.
We'll keep you in court for years.
It'll definitely incorporate movies from phase four. So we're only getting what we've seen now, which also makes sense. Another thing, just quickly.
What if Batman kept falling over?
What
if in a big pile of poo? I'm Kevin Feige.
If I was DC, I'd try and get Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
I'd try and buy him, bring him over, whatever. This is also from producer Brad Winterbaum, who says, we had very few parameters for the series, but no X-Men or Fantastic Four was certainly one of them.
Oh.
So basically the idea was they want to establish them in the regular universe before you're like, here's an alternate version of the X-Men.
Yeah, for sure.
Which makes sense. Mm. Another quick thing is,
what if Wolverine kept falling over in a big pile of poo?
Oh, no, we own him now.
Oh, yeah, it's fine then. Yeah.
Still do it.
Yeah.
They also, I don't know if you saw this as well, they were thinking of putting the Rocketeer in episode one, fighting alongside everybody. And
do they own the Rocketeer?
Well, it's Disney, so yeah.
Oh, that's true.
And Kevin Feige was like, ha ha, I love this picture you drew, but absolutely not. Never. Never in a million years.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. Has he ever been in the Marvel Universe? Potentially.
I don't believe so. Mm. He's not a Marvel comic initially. He was an indie, but they might have done a crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll see some more Rocketeer stuff at some point, but that's neither here nor there. Mason, what do you think of this episode all in all?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. That's all you'll get out of us.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're on your side.
I agree. Yeah. Whatever you think, yeah, why not?
We also thought that.
We also thought that. Unless it's dumb, in which case keep your stupid opinions to yourself.
Mm. I think, look, if I have one critique of these thus far, look, yeah. I like that this was, again, this wasn't an episode one. This isn't like, what if... Pretty much the same thing, but slightly reversed or whatever.
Sure.
I enjoyed the fact that this was, you know, here's an inciting event and everything went completely differently. I think that's, you know, what this is all about. I think it would be in their favor to give it another 10, 20 minutes per episode.
Yeah, I
would like to
see.
I would like to see more establishing stuff. And I don't know how they could have put this in, but I think it would have been to the advantage of the storytelling in this episode if we had seen.
Mm.
A Hope Van Dyne, or we had seen you know, a Hank Pym prior to their appearance. You know,
just
as a complete storytelling
just
experience.
To settle into the eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. Give him normal eyebrows at the start.
And then you know something's gone wrong.
Yeah, and then Hope dies and he throws his eyebrow comb away.
What's the point of this even anymore?
But
I can see that.
Yeah, because I, you know, but again, you know, obviously nobody going into this has never seen an MCU movie or probably hasn't seen all of them.
Would be insane to do that.
But I think just from a storytelling perspective, it would be nice to have all the pieces in place of a mystery.
Yeah.
So just anyone could solve it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's, yeah, I can't really argue with that.
But otherwise, good fun.
I mean, you solved it, I didn't.
Ah.
So, you know. For me, is this for me?
It's
the extra
for you.
20
yeah,
minutes
yeah, yeah.
So I can figure it out and feel
smart.
And
the 20 minutes is just Hank Pym going, I'm going to do some murders now.
You can't even wait to see what I do.
Right.
You're going to love it.
You're going to think it's an invisible man, but it's me. I'm real little. James.
What?
Yeah. I'm talking to you.
anyways, as mentioned, these go up early at bigsandwich.com. Co. Mm-hmm. We also have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Our podcast normally comes out Monday. People seem to enjoy it. It's got its own YouTube channel also and all audio platforms, but it goes up early at Big Sandwich. But, you know, hang around if you want to.
Are you suggesting that people are only enjoyed because it's out on Mondays?
Yes.
Wow.
They're like, I can't wait for my commute to work because of this podcast. Other than that, I hate my commute, but I love this podcast. Or the other way around. I love the commute.
Yep.
And I just want to go into work with a bad mindset, so I put this podcast on.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for watching or listening, and thank you to Collings for the edit,
thank
as always.
Thank you, Collings.
How does he do it?
Technology.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like...
maybe he's got a Microsoft Surface.
Oh, almost certainly, yeah. That's right.
We'll get one comment that's like, bloody sure it's for Microsoft, so are you guys, are you bloody...
we'd love to be.
If you could.
Send us some Surfaces, some Surfi.
I've never used one.
Send us some Microsoft Surfi.
Two
of them, yes.
Great. All right, thanks, everybody.
All right, grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.